The NPL Show is brought to you in association with EvoStick. Get stuck in.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to October's edition of the EvoStick NPL Show for the 2017-18 season. And joining me round the table to discuss what a month it has been in the month of October 2017.
Is it going to be the great and good?
We're joined by a lot of wonderful people from the non-league world. We've got Mr. James
and
Hayes.
Swampy.
Evening.
We've got Ian Burke from Radio Manchester and 26-0.
Hiya, Ben.
We've got Swampy from the non-league show.
Good evening, Benjamin.
And from Altrincham Football Club, we're joined by Richard Imper, who got an invite this month. Hello.
I did, yeah. That's nice.
I don't know bloody well why.
Coming up in the show as well, we're also going to be joined by three managers. We've got Darren Kelly coming on at Hyde United, Craig Elliott at Shore Lane, and Dave Cook at Nantwich Town joining us on this month's show. So be nice, what we're about to say.
We always are, Ben.
Now, it's a lunchtime, it's a 7 o'clock kickoff. 8 o'clock kickoff?
No, it's at 7.55.
That's why I'm confused. There was a 7.55 kickoff.
7.55?
There's a 7.55 kickoff on Friday in the first round of the FA Cup for Hyde United against a team that Swampy's going to mention in a derogatory way, but because I'm the presenter, MK Dons. And that match will be live on the BBC.
You've got no kahunas, have you? That's why. You're not prepared to say what we all think. They're an MK franchise. And, simple as that. Yep.
So we're going to be talking about Hyde United to begin with. Now, Berkey, that means we have to come to you first before we get Darren Kelly on. And how are you feeling?
I'm actually feeling fairly... I am excited.
I've
I'm fairly.
You look that way.
I'm feeling calm but excited. A slight air of giddiness, but at the same time, it feels like we've won already. You know, getting to the first round was like winning the cup. I can guarantee you, any money on this earth, that Hyde United, for Hyde United fans, getting to the first round of the cup felt as good as. Whoever won the FA Cup last season, was it Arsenal? I don't even know, to be honest. I assume it was Arsenal. They usually win it, don't they? But I can guarantee it was even better than for the Arsenal fans, because Arsenal win it every year and then they still call for the manager to get sacked when he then loses the next league game to Chelsea or City or United or something
back
like
on
that.
Message. Come on, bring it
back. Oh, yeah.
I interviewed the chairman last week on another show.
Yeah.
And talking about fan ownership and that kind of thing. And because it's... Events like this, it brings the club together, doesn't it? And there's going to be a big crowd there at Ewen Fields.
Yeah, absolutely. And if only I had a pound for the cliche jar, because this is ridiculous. If only I had a pound for the cliche jar, because
if you had a pound for the cliche jar, you would say,
not only is Hyde United, but the town of Hyde is United.
Ooh.
And let's be honest,
I'm tempted to keep all that in now. I really am. Dear listener, editors note, whoever, right? I'm going to keep that in the show because that is really up there.
The thing is, the first time
I'd much prefer that you ask me that now than someone throw something to me on.
There
Friday
was a Hyde United fan who got in touch with the show to complain that we don't take Hyde United serious, and that was Berkey there laughing his head off. Swampy, from one Hyde United member to another, can you rescue this for us?
The Hyde story, when you consider 2016, Darren came in. Hyde had gone through some really big highs and then some huge lows. I know Berkey had commentated for, I think Berkey may hold a record to get him and Luke with a team that actually commentated on a team losing more than any other commentator in football history. In all fairness,
I didn't see Hyde win. Congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah, I didn't see Hyde win a game for 18 months. And I think that's testament to where they are now. I think Darren's come in. I interviewed him last week on another show as well, and he's a player, an ex-player, an ex-manager who himself has gone through the trials and tribulations. Let's not forget, he was at Oldham Athletic for less than 8 days. And I think he had to reassess himself, his life, what he was going to do. And I think it's testament to a manager that the club have given time to.
They could quite easily have got rid of him last year, you know. There was a particularly dreadful game.
Well, it was a bit of a damn squib last season, wasn't it?
Well, the first half it definitely was. The dear of it was when we played at Radcliffe Borough, we lost 4-0. I mean, we had a lovely time in the commentary box.
It's great for the club. They're a fan-owned club now, out of necessity more than anything. I don't think they ever wanted to go down that route, but they chose to do so. Mm-hmm. They've galvanised support. They've had a small, hardcore
fan base that have stuck with the club through the trials and tribulations over the last 18 months, and what they've done is they've got just reward now for where they are. FA Cup first round against MK franchise, a sellout ground, a sellout game, live on television, and it will do absolute wonders for the football club. They're playing very, very good football. They're currently fourth in the division. I know.
Fifth.
Well, they were fourth last time I saw them. They're now fifth. But yeah, okay, they're fifth now. But again, they've done tremendously well. They're playing football in the right manner. They've got a great, great squad there. And what Darren's done, which all good managers do, and I think even if you look to the pro ranks and all the top pro rank clubs, and I'm talking about people like Barcelona here and Madrid and United's and so on and so forth, they know their entire squad from top to bottom, the kids all the way through. And Darren's done that. He's been meticulous in everything he's done. He's looking forward to Friday. Yeah. He knows win, lose or draw, they've won already. It's the third time Hyde have ever been in this situation. They are a club on the rise. They're a club that I would hope, regardless of the result on Friday night, which I'll be at, they do play some great football, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to enjoy it. And over to Darren to hear his thoughts, Ben.
So welcome back to the show, Darren. First things first, what's the mood in the camp like going into this game this evening?
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. You know, the club, and rightly so, is getting a right bit of attention, obviously with the FA Cup and everything. And there's a great buzz. You know, I keep referring to, as much as I don't like to, again, when I first came into the job of 18 months ago, where it was just doom and gloom, it was a total opposite of what it is now. So to see so many people excited, happy, and looking forward to the occasion is, you know, I get a lot of satisfaction because I play a small part in trying to help build that. And what we have is obviously, in terms of the league, is fantastic. But in terms of obviously Friday and the big build up to what is going to be a hopefully a fantastic game, and what is, what I believe, the most famous cup in the world. So yeah, exciting. Everything's very good. And can't wait to get going tomorrow night.
And you're right. I mean, we've had Ricky Hatton commenting, obviously a local lad, and it feels like yeah. that a football club goes in and out of its town in a way as years go by. Being supporter owned, there's a bit more to it than that. I mean, I spoke to Steve Hartley last week on the Supporters Direct podcast, and it feels like there's a bit more can do now at the club, and definitely something to springboard the club forward now.
100%. That's it. But you know what, Ben? The biggest thing in life in general is having the belief to do something. You know, and you know what? Now we believe we can go on and achieve. We believe that, you know, that the club can actually go in the right path, which as I say, it's been used to the opposite of that, you know, for a number of years, three relegations. So it's really exciting times. And I just hope, you know, tomorrow night, fingers crossed, we get through to the next round. But if we don't, you know what? What an enjoyable experience. Be proud of everybody at the club, because, you know, if you come into this club and you're pretty much here full time and you see the effort that the supporters, the volunteers, the board, everybody make towards, you know, what I believe is a fantastic club, to help that club, it's inspiring. It's inspiring, and you know, I just want nothing but the best for the club.
And obviously, the TV cameras are going to be there. It's against league opposition. It's a Hollywood game in many ways.
Really
big time for the club. But all credit to you, coaching staff, and your team. You've not taken your eye off the ball, have you? I mean, there was two potential banana skins you've had since the Scarborough result in Brighouse and Gull, and you've put some cracky scorelines on the board. So the mood of the camp, momentum going into this game, superb by the looks of it.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there, Ben. That was a key thing. There was two potential banana skins. That's why I didn't, and I spoke to people, and I didn't want to do interviews. I didn't want to lose track of what our focus was. I made that very clear to the players. You know, the league is the main thing. That is the main priority. We've got to keep track of that. With two games, when the draw was first announced, with two games, obviously Brighouse and Gull on Saturday, we scored 9, conceded 2. You know, to be honest, I was disappointed conceding the 2. You know, so that's where my focus was on. The players were very professional in how they went about their jobs. They went about them with the work ethic that they've had all season, but most importantly, the professional, great attitudes. We got the results, and then when Gull was over on Saturday, then the focus turned to obviously MK Dons, and that's where I was as well personally. My focus was on them league games. Once they're over and done with, MK Dons, and that's what we've been, you know, doing the last couple of days, and making sure we're right and we're ready for that, doing the necessary work on the pitch, off the pitch, and in order to give ourselves the best opportunity tomorrow night, because it's nobody expects anything from us, Ben, and maybe rightly so. They're five leagues above, but you know what? You have the BBC cameras here. They're here for a reason. They're really, you know, they're here to hopefully see an upset, and hopefully we can produce that.
And it'd be a mammoth upset. I mean, people take this for granted now, and I think I've become a bit blasé about it, but you are step four, and you are playing a League One side. That said, you mentioned the BBC. I've seen Salford, I've seen Warrington, and the upsets were there. And stranger things have happened is basically what I'm saying, Darren.
Yeah, you know what? It's achievable, because at the end of the day, the belief's there, the work ethic will be there. You know, in terms of you look at our stats when we play, you know, our as you well know, we've got the player tech vest that we, you know, we're able to see what players run and what we are as a team. And it's funny, I was looking at the stats last night. You look at from the Real Madrid, and Osvaldo Ardiles was making the point that Real Madrid, they're, in terms of the team, they'd run 107 kilometres as a team within that game, and Spurs run 121. And Osvaldo Ardiles, you know, made the point that it was hard work that won the game, and that's all we can do Friday. Our last stats against goal were actually 107 as nice. Well. You know, for as you say, a step four team to produce that, I think is quite good, because that's what we thrive on. That's what we ask the players to do. The quality will look after itself. You're not guaranteed to go out and play well, but you can guarantee hard work. We've bought into that. I think we do it fantastically well, so much so, as you say, you know, our last game against Goal, we had 107 kilometres in the bank, for, you know, as a team. And hopefully, in order to get the result on Friday night, we'll probably have to go further than that. But do you know what? I can see it in the players' eyes. They're ready to do whatever it takes to get the result. They will run through walls. You can rest assured. They're excited. They can't wait. And now it's just a matter of doing our last bits and pieces tonight and getting ready for Friday night, tomorrow night.
Well, Darren Kelly, manager at Hyde United, a big thank you for coming on the show. I did say I'm going to let you have one more round, and then we're done then till the running, if that's all right with you. But Darren Kelly,
bro,
a big good luck this weekend. We hope
Thanks,
you win,
man.
And I'll speak to you in the second round proper.
That's great. Thank you.
Just before we get to Charlene, predictions for tonight's game?
Well, seems when us that have been at the games with Salford and everyone else, they've never lost, just to point out as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Remember the two games with Salford and Blythe. And I think MK Dons at the moment are struggling a little bit, because the League One table is very, very close. So Hyde have got a massive opportunity to catch them off guard, I reckon.
Okay.
So minimum, I can see replay minimum.
It will be on 26-0 and Radio Manchester as well, weirdly.
And Five Live Sports Extra.
Berkey, your predictions for this one?
Well, I've been waxing lyrical about the Tigers for the last 9 months, 10 months or so. Hyde's team spirit is worth a goal in any game. It's the best team spirit they've had since the 2012 squad, maybe even better than that.
Certainly will be on Friday, yeah.
Exactly, and the thing is, Richard, I don't think Hyde are going to get pummeled. I think Hyde will be in touch. I want to be realistic about it. I think it's going to be a close game. And I'm going to say Hyde are going to squeak a 3-2 win.
Wow. Swampert, quickly.
As much as I think it's a great story and I really, really want them to do a great job and win the game, I think, unfortunately, MK will be slightly too good for them.
I can't be very romantic about the tie. I think it's going to be 2-0, 3-0 to Milton Keynes, as much as I dislike them.
Right, so that's a big good luck to Hyde United on Friday evening. Lunchtime kickoff on Saturday, though, is Shore Lane against Mansfield Town. Now then, we are going to be hearing from Craig Elliott in a second or two. But Shore Lane riding high in the NPL Premier, arguably they've got a better chance than Hyde United have.
No, they haven't. They lost against Ramsbottom last night.
In extra time,
yeah, but he conceded three goals
probably,
in extra time.
Probably with the...
I think you're right, Ben, in fairness. I think you're right. I think their style of football, I think it's they're at home. They have a resolute way of playing football. Mm. It's going to be something that's a little bit new for maybe Mansfield. They would have looked at them, obviously. But the same token, I think at home, if the weather is conducive, let's say, and a few things go in their favour, the way they play football and the style that they've got, they score goals, we know, but also they are very, very direct.
Battling team.
They battle their work hard. That is a game. That is a game. Certainly, I think, on paper, compared to, as much as I want High to win, as you know I do, Berkey, I'm going to be at the game.
Oh, it's going to be blood and thunder.
I think they've got more of a chance of getting through to the next round than Hydewood playing really good quality, attractive football. I know disrespect to Short Lane, but that's the way that they play a certain way.
Hyde are playing, at the end of the day, a League One side who are mid-table in League One. Near the top of the Premier against the League Two side who are mid-table. So, Richard, by my logic, I know football's not played on paper, but...
Oh, have you got a pound for the cliché, Tim?
I actually went to Ramsdorff last night to see the game. Altrincham's next opposition in the trophy. But, Swampy was just saying about Shawlane being a battling side and strong side. That's exactly what Mansfield are. Mm-hmm. Mansfield, they've got Steve Evans at the back there and the managerial seat, rather. He's always played his teams the same way. Very hard to break down, very physical. And the only thing that might go against them is they're going to be out of their comfort zone.
I think they'll be expecting, stylistically, Shawlane's approach, because they come up against teams like that every week. Whereas with Hyde United, MK Dons maybe not quite expecting it so much that they're going to zip the ball around a lot, because they're a very passing side, Hyde United. But Shawlane, they're more direct.
All clubs do the homework on, at this stage of the season, when you're in their vehicles, they've all done the homework, they all know what to expect. It's on the day whether or not there's a bit of extraordinary football that's played. Curzon did it last season. Did tremendously well, Curzon, last season. They beat team. Yeah. The season before that, Salford did tremendously well.
Yep.
You know, and
Warrington the season
and
before
Warrington
that.
As well. They've all done really, really well. So there are upsets to be had. Home advantage is a huge thing.
Yeah.
And home advantage on a non football league football pitch is even more an advantage as well.
And the attitude and enthusiasm not of the league side.
Well, let's talk about
the league side going to play.
Let's find out what the attitude's like. Let's hear from Craig Elliott, our manager at Shawlane.
So, welcome back to the show, Craig. First things first, what's the mood like in the camp going into this big game against Mansfield?
Yeah, I think everybody's excited. It feels like we've been waiting forever, to be honest with you. It's not been ideal the last few weeks having games. We have had one eye on it, but we trained last night and atmosphere were good, so everybody's up for it.
Now, it has been, as you've touched upon there, it has been, not tricky isn't the right word, but you know, you've got those scenes against Barrow where you defeat a conference side and you're through to the first round in the first time in the club's history. But then there's been a series of, on paper, difficult fixtures, which, you know, you've got the draw against Ramsbottom and Middlesbrough in the first game, the draw against Ashton United at Hurst Cross is a good result on paper, but what's your take on it all the last few weeks?
Yeah, we went strong against Ashton, and Ashton are a very good team, so to go there and get a 3-0 draw, I was delighted. Conditions were hard that day, and then we sort of played Ramsbottom. No disrespect to Ramsbottom, because they deserve to win the tie, but we sort of rested a few players, if you like, in both matches, and we were a bit disjointed, so it wasn't ideal. And they sort of played us at a good time on Tuesday night, but they deserve to win the game, but so we could have done without the trophy being just a week before, if I'm being totally honest, because I didn't play my strongest team and we had a few injuries that I didn't want to risk. So, but it is what it is, and good luck to Ramsbottom, they deserved it, and it is what it is.
And the worst thing about that Ramsbottom replay was the fact it did go to extra time, and,
yeah.
and did you have to play players in that extra time that perhaps you rather not have played?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as soon as we went to extra time, I thought I want to take David Norris off, and if it would have been a normal week, if you like, I wouldn't have done that. But look, it is what it is, and like we say, you've got to play football, and they deserve to win Ramsbottom. They were a better team over both matches, so no complaints from me, but I would have, if I'd have had a choice, I'd prefer to have played at a different time. There's no doubt about that.
Now, the good news is, though, Craig, that obviously there would have been scouts at that game on Tuesday night, and it is a bit of a curveball that you've perhaps thrown at Mansfield here. It's going to be a different performance on Saturday, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is. You know what I mean? It's a one-off game, and like I said, I think players have been sort of waiting for it and hopefully saving the best for Saturday. I don't think Mansfield would have been to watch us last two or three matches, and they won't have seen the true
team that we've got and how we play. So maybe we'll take him by surprise, I don't know. But yeah, we're just looking forward to it now.
Now, obviously, when you played league opposition, you're relying on them not being at 100% and your boys being at 110% to have any chance of winning. But we have seen it before. What's the game plan going into this game? And at this point, you're more than welcome to play mind games with Manfield, no problem at all.
No, look, we trained last night and I said to players, look, it is another game. There's a lot of people going to enjoy the day, but I don't want us to just turn up and go through the motions and enjoy the day. We're there to be competitive, and you're absolutely right. They need to have an off day and we need to have an unbelievable day as a group of players. And if we do that, we stand a chance. But obviously, it goes the other way as well. If we don't turn up and they play to the full potential, we don't want to be end of a game where we don't do ourselves justice. And that's the message from me. We're here to win games, and that's what I enjoy. So we're going to give it his best shot.
Now, we had Craig Wood on a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about, you know, all the preparations going into this game and just how momentous it is for the club. There's going to be a big crowd at this game, isn't there? And hopefully as well, you get one of those cauldron atmospheres, and the weather might help as well as the pitch. What's your planning as a club going into this game, as well as it being on TV, of course?
Yeah, I mean, it's a matter of just trying to get a good atmosphere as we can. We know we want to improve as crowds, and this is a day where we can do that, and hopefully people come enjoy the day on and off the pitch, and they stick around for a few more league fixtures as the season goes on. But we want to make the ground intimidating. It's not the nicest of places, the dressing rooms and et cetera, you know what I mean? So that'll be a culture shock to their players. And hopefully we can unsettle them a bit. But yeah, we want people to come and enjoy the day, really. Some people will be coming for the first time to Shore Lane, and I want them to enjoy that and come back in the future.
Now, we have to remember, you're a manager of a non-league club, but yet you've got the schedule of a Premiership football manager in many ways. Yeah. I mean, Monday's match, as far as I'm aware, is going ahead against Old Chicken. It's madness, isn't it, the scheduling at the moment? I mean, how are you juggling it all?
I know, I don't want to come across like a moaning, but I am. but we had, extra time Tuesday. A lot of us travelled over M6 still. That was shut, so we didn't get home till 1:30, 2:00. We trained last night. Massive game Saturday, which physically and mentally will take a lot out of us. And then I'm sure Old Chicken are licking the lips at playing us on Monday night, which is a massive game. They're an outstanding team in their own right. So, it's a difficult run of the games for us, but it is what it is, and maybe when you are successful, you've got to take it on chin, and you've just got to get on with it, really. There's no point moaning, because nobody will feel sorry for you. And that's what I've sort of said to a group of players. We've just got to get on with it and do the best we can.
Well, Craig Elliott, manager at Shore Lane, I can't wish you any luck about Monday's game, but I can seriously do that about Saturday. A big good luck against Mansfield. We hope you win, and I'll definitely speak to you in the second round.
All right, thanks, mate.
So Shore Lane there, James, you were going to say something, then I'll come to Berkey's epiphany.
I was just going to say there as well, Shore Lane haven't necessarily had a bad job. They need time getting through to at the moment. The names that they've had taken out at the moment, obviously shocked Barrow in the last round, manager got sacked next morning, and that's because of the result. Well, they've taken out Lancaster City, Blythe Spartans along the way. We won't talk about the other one, but...
Who's the other one?
Radcliffe,
but...
Well, everyone takes out Radcliffe.
Exactly, but...
Just think, if they'd not beaten you, you would have been there.
I know. Well...
Well...
we would have taken out Blythe Spartans, Lancaster and Barrow on the long way, but...
They have played some good teams.
So they've been playing teams with a lot more that competitive side to them at the same time. So when Robbie Day or the Lancaster side with picks the last couple of weeks, Barrow as well, who were mid-table in the conference at the time. So these... I think Shore Lane have a lot more prepared for this than what Mansfield will be. And I've got a feeling this is another one where there could be a huge shock.
I can see a replay coming out of it. I don't think there'll be any stone left on the
As Richard says,
they're going to have to play a lot better than they did at Ramsbottom last
night.
The thing is, as you rightly say, though, I mean, Steve Evans, when he was at Crawley...
He knows the score.
He did the trophies at the MPL only a couple of seasons ago, so he knows exactly what to expect, and he's a seasoned manager. Shore Lane have that opportunity, and I think it's Shore Lane's best opportunity to actually put a big upset in there.
If you don't finish at 90 on Saturday, the replay, I can't see him doing anything there personally. They've got to do it.
Well, one step at a time.
I'm going to go round
this side of the table for predictions. Richard,
I'm again going to go with the league side. I think Manchester will do it 2-0 comfortably.
Swampy.
I'm going to give Shortland the benefit. I think they're going to win in a really, really tough, scrappy, not for TV viewing kind of game, in fairness, which they won't mind at all. I think they're going to win 1-0, possibly 2-0 with a 91st minute killer.
Just to say, there's a good chance there was a Mansfield scout at the same game you were at, so.
Yes, indeed, of course.
Burke.
I think it's going to be an absolutely ugly but dramatic 2-2 draw.
Wow. Oh, and James, lastly.
A bit like Berkey's beard.
I reckon there's going to be a late goal in it that will either send it to a replay or Charlene will just sneak it. We'll leave them talking like 92nd, 93rd. But as I mentioned before, if Charlene don't do it in 98th, I don't give him a chance in the replay.
And Berkey,
last. Ben, I've got me epiphany.
Yeah.
And this relates back to Hyde, by the way. The Friday night game that the BBC have shown in the first round, the non-league team has never lost.
Warrington.
And
Warrington, Salford, whoever it was last year.
And again, who was at all of them with the NPL group in the past?
Absolutely. Omens.
Hold on a second. So the game I bought a ticket for is actually on...
Yeah, it's on the BBC.
So I could have sat...
At home,
yeah.
But you're good.
You know what? That's even better. Even better that I'm actually be at the game.
I'm going to record it.
Charlene's
managed. You record it? How do you do that nowadays? How do you record?
I recorded Rochdale. It's just what you do, isn't it?
Your missus, in fairness, your lovely wife, did the...
She was pregnant. Heavily pregnant.
That was nothing to do with me.
No.
Hold on.
Where did that come from?
We did the drive time show.
We did drive time. We were doing radio reports.
We went on air at 3 o'clock.
The traffic coming into Rochdale seems to be brilliant.
Burke, I was presenting from 3 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Like that.
Standard.
Yeah, proper.
Good for you.
It's like
professional.
Yeah. Charlene against Mansfield Town will also be on telly. That'll be on BT Sport from 12:30 kickoff. On Saturday afternoon. Not on telly, shockingly, is the next game, Stevenage against Nantwich Town.
It's not shocking though, is it? Because they always go to a non-league club, they always look for the surprise, and with the best will in the world, I don't think Nantwich are going to surprise Stevenage.
Well, yeah. They're just going to win standardly.
I think it's going to be 2-3-0, unfortunately, but I'd tell you what, hats off to Nantwich.
To Nantwich?
Absolutely.
Is this a Stevenage win you're predicting?
It is, yeah. I just think Nantwich have done brilliant, and this isn't a pat on the head or anything like that. They've done brilliant to get where they are. That win over Kettering in the replay was phenomenal.
Now we are going to be speaking,
but I think it's a bridge too far for them.
We are going to be speaking to Dave Cook, in his second manager at Nantwich, but the striking thing was when I've been, because we've had Nantwich on every other week, haven't we? That's the thing with the FA Cup.
Are they your favourites?
They're up there obviously. The thing is that they put a lot of onus on a good FA Cup run this season, and they've made the first round now. Is that job done, Swampy, or...?
No, I don't think it is, to be honest. I think from a Nantwich perspective, they've had a very different season so far, losing the managers that they did. Excuse me, we knew how difficult it was going to be for them, in fairness, and we've seen what Altrincham are doing so far this season with the new management team that they've got. To get to where they are is absolutely tremendous. The work rate, the quality of the team... He's been absolutely second to none, and they've got to the first round, and that is a testament to them. When they drew at home against Kettering, no one gave them the hope in hell, but the manager, Cookie, went down, watched them, saw what they were like.
Biggleswade on a Tuesday night.
That's
Bedfordshire, isn't it?
It shows what managers are prepared to do. And I think that would have been done if it was the FA Vars, FA Trophy, or been in the FA Cup. That's what managers do. They go out. Those managers that actually want to succeed, those managers that actually want to are prepared to do the extra mile, go out there and show the quality that they have. And it doesn't matter if they win, lose, or draw, but he's been out there to look at them to make sure. He's done the same with this tie coming. And they're already winners, but the same token, they will be going into this game thinking, if we can do what we did and replicate what we did away from home against Kettering, there's no reason why we can't upset the apple cart again and get something out of this game. It's going to be a tall order, don't get me wrong.
It's very tough, though, isn't it, to go
away? It is, but Sean Cook's playing well at the moment for them. He's scoring goals for them. And, you know, they have every chance. It's an FA Cup. It's a one-off game.
Stevenage were on a poor run of form recently, and out of the three games that we've highlighted, this is where I think Nantwich could...
They've been a cup team and they are three games behind everyone at the moment, but if you look at the last couple of results...
At least they're five games behind Whitby Town. We'll come to the league in a minute, but Nantwich are in a false position.
But we've seen them in the past in a false position where they've been mid-table with games to play, so this isn't...
But they've had two good games against Kettering. They've just beaten Whitman, so they're not in that bad form in recent weeks.
Well, let's see.
It's up for the cup, fellas, isn't it?
And there's not that many teams, in fairness, that have done particularly well first round FA Cup and then been relegated. I mean, it'd be interesting to know what the stats are. And maybe join this show. Maybe.
Phil Annetts, where are you?
I said first round. It'd be interesting if there are stats that would suggest any team that's been in the first round of the FA Cup and then got relegated, that would be good to know in non-league football. I don't think there's going to be many of them around, but I'm sure Berkey will find out during the show.
Does Jeeves still exist? Is Jeeves still with us as a website? While Berkey's doing some research, let's hear now from the manager at Nantwich Town. Please welcome Dave Cook.
So, welcome back to the show, Dave. Firstly, a big game this weekend. What's the mood like in the camp at the moment?
Yeah, the lads are really looking forward to it. The build-up this week has been great. A lot of media attention and that, but the lads are staying focused on the game.
Now, obviously, when we've spoke, I think you've been on the show about 15 times this season now, you combined with Darren and Craig, we should say. It's one thing we've been talking about is the league position Nantwich find themselves in. And unfortunately, since the great win against Kettering, you've only had one league match, but it was a cracking result against Witham.
Yeah, I mean, the game last week, which we rested quite a few, and then you look at that, if we'd have won that trophy game, it was a trophy the following week again, so... We're going to get too far behind with not a big enough squad. So it's one of them. Yeah, the Cup's great and the FA Cup, and it's fabulous for the club. But we certainly haven't taken the focus off the league and what we've got to get back on track.
I mean, we spoke with Craig Elliott earlier, and unfortunately for Shore Lane, they had a replay on Tuesday night to deal with, as well as a game looming against Altrincham on Monday. And that's the thing that you managers, you are managing a non-league club, but you do have to manage your schedule and that kind of thing. How are you juggling the squad at the moment and the demands?
Yeah, well, we left a few out last Saturday because two of them were on full booking. So if they got booked last Saturday, then they'd have missed. This week, Courtney Wilde in the left back had a pull in his neck, so he wasn't risked, and then Steve Jones wasn't risked. And it was a case of it's all geared up to this. Previous to that, when we'd won at Kettering on the Tuesday, we had the lads in Thursday because we needed to bring them down to earth because of the massive game against Witten Albion on the Saturday.
Absolutely. And one thing that we picked up upon the last time we spoke was how diligent you were in preparing for the Kettering match, going down to Biggleswade in Bedfordshire to midweek as well, we should say, to scout out the opposition. What are you expecting from Stevenage?
Well, Clive and Mervyn have been down, went to watch them a week last Saturday. We've had a lot of stuff from Craig Alexander, video analysis, different parts. So... We've gone through all that. So, we're preparing, you know, as best we can.
And unfortunately for Nantwich, it is an away game, isn't it? And but then again, we've seen upsets where a non-league club have gone to a league ground and really surprised them. I mean, what's your game plan going into this game?
Well, first and foremost, we know it's the biggest game of the season, and we have got to be on it. We can't have two or three players short on the day, because if they don't perform, we will get a beat. One thing I'm hoping for is that Stevenage maybe take us, when I say take us lightly, they're not going to do that because they're professional, but I don't think people sometimes realise that, you know, there's some real good players in non-league. So if we can catch them on an off day and we can perform to the best of our ability, then I'm sure the contest will be close.
Now, last week we had Tony Davidson on, and we were talking about the mood at the club at the moment. Regardless of what happens now for the rest of the season, it already feels like a memorable season for Nantwich Town. What's the mood like at the club going into this game?
Yeah, everybody's looking forward to it. I mean, the supporters, the board, the players, the management, everybody's looking forward to it. And you know, once this cup run ends, and let's hope it doesn't end on Saturday, then we get back down to the nitty-gritty of the league and we need to start climbing that table. And, you know, we've got one or two players in mind that can get us a little bit stronger. So, yeah, there's everything to play for, isn't there?
Absolutely. And I told you off air, I told Craig and Darren as well, you're allowed one more round after this one. I'm going to let you. And then you've got to find your own way in the media world, if that's all right, Dave. But a big good luck this weekend. We hope you win, and I'll definitely speak to you in the next round. No problem at all.
Thanks, Ben.
So Dave
Cookie! He's a monster.
Just before we get to we leave the FA Cup behind, just your predictions then for Nantwich Town. Let's do this diagonally. Swamper, your prediction?
I think Nantwich will win, yes. I think that Nantwich will win 2-1.
Burke?
I think it's going to be an uphill struggle for him. I think that Stevenage I think Stevenage are going to turn up on the day. I know Richard says they've been in poor form in League 2, but it's still a 3-division gap and I can see him winning it by a couple of goals.
Richard?
One each.
I think it's sayonara to Nantwich in this one, I'm afraid.
That is the end of part one of the Evo Stick MPL show. Coming up, we're going to be discussing the league. But here's an advert and we'll see you in a minute.
Fantastic adhesive this sticks like from Evo Stick.
Yeah, it's incredibly strong.
And it even works on wet surfaces. Pretty impressive.
Did I tell you my lad's playing in the Evo Stick League this year?
The Evo Stick League?
Yeah, Evo Stick are the new sponsors of the Northern Premier League.
What position does your lad play?
Goalie.
You'd better put some sticks like on his gloves then.
Especially when it's wet.
Sticks like adhesive from Evo Stick. Proud sponsors of the Evo Stick League. For details of your nearest stockist, search the App Store on your iPhone for the new Evo Stick app.
Welcome back to the Evo Stick NPL show for the month of October. That's the FA Cup done and dusted, and a big good luck to everyone in the first round.
Yeah, good
round
luck to
proper.
All. Yeah.
And when I mean everyone, I mean our three sides.
Especially Hyde United.
Well, if it was Hyde United started where the Premier League clubs would have done, this is the FA Cup final for him. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, let's get to the league.
Ooh,
though.
I like that. Well done, James.
Let's get to the league. And Richard, you're here this month. It's a good job someone invited you. Because Alti are top, Shaw Lane are in FA Cup action, Warrington have got an injury crisis.
Well, big injury crisis.
Yes,
well,
making hay while the sun shines.
We've got one or two injuries of our own.
Not as bad as Warrington, I'd be surprised.
And also a couple of suspensions. But we're coming through, though. We've won the last 10 home games in all competitions. I think we need to up our game slightly away from home. Drawing too many, we need a couple of wins so we can pull away from the Shore Lanes and Warrington's.
And this is the thing, isn't it? I mean, at the moment, it's looking like, despite all our talk in the last couple of months about how close the league is and that kind of thing, it's looking like Alton could, with the way they're playing at the moment, top goal scorers in the league, they could be this season's Blythe Spartans quite easily.
If there's going to be a team that breaks away from the rest of the pack, I mean, Stourbridge are up there, Shore Lane, Warrington, whatnot. It's going to be Altrincham for me. They've got the resources there. They've got the players. They're playing some fantastic football as well. Yeah. And they're just steamrolling teams. They're not beating them by 1-2-0. They're beating them by 3-4 goals. Especially, as you say, Richard, at home.
Yeah.
They look unbeatable at the minute. Since that game against Stafford on the opening day, they've just been flying on the home turf. But you're dead right. Away from home, maybe they're setting up differently. Maybe the home teams are setting up a little bit differently. I don't know. But
I think the home teams and all the away games are set up differently.
Yeah.
They're aware of the dangers that we've got with some of the skill that we've got in the side. So they're preparing and work very well for that. And, yeah, we could do a lot better there. But the point I want to bring up now, if we win on Saturday, that means Shore Lane have got three games in hand. So they're still a danger. I don't think we're pulling away as much as perhaps you like to think we are right now, Ian.
I don't think you're pulling away. I mean, in future, I think if there's one team that will pull away, I think it'd be Alton.
Certainly possible. Yes, yes.
I don't believe that this season there will be. I see that pulls away now. I thought at the very beginning of the season, we all agreed, the vast majority of us anyway, around the table tonight and those that are here tonight, that Alton would be the team they'd expect to maybe go on and win the division. I think Shore Lane have shocked everybody.
Yep.
But the same token, I can't see a real clear runaway team at this moment in time. I think that everything's so close. Sean Laird obviously got two games in hand over Altrincham. Altrincham have played some great football. We'll be three on Saturday, of course, yeah. But at the same token, I think Altrincham have played some very, very good football. There's a huge onus on Altrincham this season. They're a big, big football club. They've got a good management team that are now showing the quality. And at this moment in time, looking at the football, and I've seen probably about five or six teams at this moment in time in the division with Ben watching games. Altrincham are playing the best football, the most attractive and pretty on the eye, and getting end results. There will come a time where they're going to have to scrap again. They had a very, very nervy start. I mean, I was at Warrington with Ben last week against Buxton. It was a windswept, horrible evening for football.
Well, Buxton.
But both teams played some good football. So I can see that Altrincham have to be on the metal all through the season to make sure that they stay where they are, because the teams below them are playing good football, different styles of football, but effective football at the same time.
Can I go to Warrington? Are you going to let me?
I just wanted to say about Altrincham, if they can crack it this month, if they can come through it unscathed, they'll be laughing. They've got to play Shaw Lane in the league, got to play Buxton.
Yeah.
Ashton United, who are flying as well at the moment, well, sort of flying, scoring lots of goals at least. If they come through this month
in the playoffs,
still, I think they'll be home and home.
Well, they both played each other in the League Cup a couple of weeks ago that me and Ben were at, and it was an interesting game of football, to say the very least.
Now, there's actually a chance this weekend that Altrincham could be caught up points-wise by Warrington Town, because Altrincham have got Buxton, as you've said. Warrington have got Sutton Coldfield, more on Sutton Coldfield shortly. Warrington Town, they have had this injury problem. It is a concern, but they are still putting results on the board, and they were unlucky against Buxton.
They haven't got injuries. They've got their five main contracted players,
and they're on rotation,
injured. And against Buxton, as I say, it was a horrible night.
They bounced back in the FA Trophy. They beat Bamber Bridge. And, you know, Bamber Bridge,
hey,
going into that game, you know, would have been looking at that going, we could have Warrington here. We played them in the past, and for Warrington to dig deep and get the, it was comfortable in the end, really. I mean, Bamber Bridge got a goal back.
Carden's a good manager. He knows what he's got around him. He knows the players have got out injured at this moment in time, and you know they'll go level on points. They unless they have a huge goal swing, they'll still be second. And Warrington will be there, no question about it. They've got a good manager. They've got great temperament, a good pace in the game. The way they play football, they've got some terrific footballs in there as well. And the one thing they've got to look forward to a degree is those five players that have got serious injuries will be probably there with them towards the back end of the season.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a huge, huge boost.
There are a pack of teams though who are looking with some wild cards in there. I don't want to say dark horses, but they are certainly wild cards. One of them is Grantham Town. Grantham Town have been epic.
Yeah, just one point, Stalbridge a little bit earlier than normal, because again,
why? That's about Grantham.
I know I'm saying about Grantham, but it'd be wrong to not include Stalbridge, including that, because the two games they've got in hand, and we know what they're like.
Lost the striker, though.
I know they've just lost the striker, but again, they've got the mentality behind them. I mean, Jordan Arch, what a move for him as well at the same
Brilliant,
time.
Isn't it?
But obviously, we know what they're like week, season in, season out, and they've got two games out at the moment. Again, if one Altrincham lose on Saturday.
Yeah.
Well, going back to Grantham Town, I mean, look, they've played 19 games this season, but they're scoring a lot of goals.
Yeah, Lee Shaw's.
And they're not conceding. I mean,
they're about the best thing that I've
but
seen.
But they've had the dodgy patch, haven't they?
And they were the first team not to beat Stalybridge Bridge on the home turf. Well, I should say on Stalybridge Bridge's travels. So it's that inconsistency again.
They've lost seven out of 19.
What you said back in August about Grantham was correct.
Yes.
Right? Their form was a bit up and down.
Yes.
But they've only been beaten once in the last eight.
How many draws were they?
Two draws.
Yeah, well, doing all right then, aren't they?
Yeah. And that includes...
That includes they've already drawn twice all season.
And what you said...
those two draws are going this month, at the same time, they've lost seven all season. They've got a very, very good goal difference.
And that goal difference comes from another point you made, that, you know, they can do well against the teams up at the top end, but struggle down the bottom end.
That's the thing.
They've demolished Rushall and Sutton Coldfield. 6-1 and 7-1.
It's brilliant, isn't it? It's great to see. Once they hit the straps.
So Grantham Town, two points behind Charlene and Warrington at the moment. They'll play a game more. Ashton United, I'm coming to you for this one, but you said last month that, you know, they'd be underachieving if they don't finish in the top six, and they are in fifth.
And I truly believe that the management, the club themselves, will think exactly the same thing.
Are you not underplaying what a good job Jody Badham's done there this season by saying they're exactly where they should be?
No, the point I'm making is, I was saying, if they don't finish where they finish in the top six, that they're underachieving. That was my entire premise of what they want to
do. I think that's a little bit harsh, mind you, because, I mean, Jody Bannum and Will Hanion last season, they were finding their feet as managers. They were bang mid-table.
After a difficult upheaval in the summer.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, after Phil Owen Acker's left, they had to really rearrange the furniture. I actually think they're doing better than expected this year. One vital part of it is they've got goals coming from players that you wouldn't expect to score. I know we mentioned Mark Lees previously on the show, but Liam Thompson, he scored two goals in about 5 years before this. He's on six or seven already this campaign. I don't know where this has come from, but he's got people who he knows can score.
They've got a manager that actually respects the players and allows them to have a free role and to make sure they can do what they need to do on a football pitch. I said what I said
and
about
Jack Dyche up front.
Yeah, but I said what I said about Ashton, because primarily they've been so successful, but you just keep missing. What's gone on in the next level of the pyramid? And I think with Jody Badham there. And I think they've got a great opportunity. And I think if they don't finish in the top six, seven this season, they'll underachieve. I still believe that.
I definitely think Grantham and Ashton are both about where they should be in the table, having seen them.
Now, obviously, if you're saying that Ashton United and Grantham are where they should be, that means there's a lot of teams below there now which are going to miss out. And there's some big clubs there, and some big clubs actually who've put some decent form together. And I'm looking at Workington and Buxton.
Yeah, Workington, yeah. They were really impressive when I saw those earlier in the season. They're in and out team, aren't they?
Yeah, they're eighth. Birka.
Yeah.
Now, earlier you went to Jeeves, but you didn't really go to Jeeves, did you? You went to a reliable source when it comes to FA Cup information. The question was...
Mr. FA Cup himself, in fairness.
Step three side to reach the first round, who then got relegated that same season.
Yeah, I went to Phil Annetts, who is at FA Cup Fact File on the internet, and he's retweeted it, and a chap called Richard242, which is presumably something to do with locos rather than a football formation, unless it's six aside or something. Oh, no, eight aside.
Oh, Front242, the great...
Front242, yeah.
Yeah, great industrial band.
Yeah. Well, he said Penrith, 84/85. And Phil goes, they came bottom that year, but were reprieved, I think.
That's...
There you go.
The AGM Cup goes back a long way. I'll keep you updated as the show goes on.
Well, thank you. That's some stat desk there, Birka.
Yes.
You talk about Workington?
Yes.
Workington are...
Workington.
An enigma this season.
Well, the only thing against them at this moment in time, to a small degree, is the games they've played. But I would fully expect them to be... Because they stuck up. They've done it for so many years.
Is there a stage now where we're looking at the table and you can see Buxton and Lancaster City, they've got games in hand thanks to their FA Cup runs and that kind of thing. But are we reaching a stage now where it's looking like we can start to cut teams off from not finishing the playoffs?
No, not at all, Ben. Nowhere near.
I mean, you look at the middle four at the moment, it's Lancaster, Witton, Colville, Barwell... So five, Micklover as well.
11 points.
No, not Micklover. Micklover aren't going to get in the playoffs.
I don't know. They've been getting some decent results recently.
We spoke to John McGrath last week, didn't we? And he was.
Oh, sorry, John.
We're only 6 points off.
Exactly. Yeah, he was saying they were looking. You know, there's a lot of teams down that middle pack there. You must be looking up at those teams just above them, going, well, that's doable. That is achievable.
Well, they'd be doing what Grantham did last season.
And Grantham are doing this season.
Well, exactly.
And again.
No one saw Grantham coming from behind as they did spectacularly.
And no one saw Mickleover beat Farsley
in another 17 games, are they going to be 12 points behind as opposed to 6 points?
I think they're picking the points up where they need to, so they're not going to be down the bottom end like we've seen in the last couple of years.
There are clubs down the bottom end like Stalybridge Celtic, like Whitby Town, like Matlock Town, like Stafford Rangers, like Hensford Town. If there's a chance, let's just touch upon the bottom end then at the moment. In the early parts of this show, we don't really touch upon relegation because I don't think it's fair at this stage of the season. But Hales Owen have pulled out some cracking results in the last month, which has really put the cat amongst the pigeons in a lot of ways.
As of Stalybridge,
and as of Marine, it has put the onus a lot on Rushall and Sutton Coldfield. I think everyone agrees that Nantwich are in a false position where they are at the moment.
Yeah.
Liam McDonald's.
No, they're not.
They've only played 15 games.
I've said before.
They've got five games in hand over Marine and they're 3 points behind them. I do think it is a false position. Yeah. But when you look at Rush Olympic with Liam McDonald, who's coming now.
They are where they are.
Rush Olympic, they got a cracking result last weekend, didn't they? Didn't they beat Buxton or somebody? Who did they beat? Yeah, Rushall beating Buxton. That's. Says to me, Rushall,
they've got
business.
A bit of fight in them.
What about Sutton Coldfield?
The problem that the Sutton have got is their goal difference. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely horrendous. That you know they've conceded 51 goals.
They've conceded the most, scored the least,
and
so they should be bottom, yeah.
And that will be their undoing unless they can change that round fundamentally. It's going to be so difficult. They play the same games as Rushall. They've played, you know, games in advance of other teams as well, but they're on 13 points, and minus 34 is not going to help them at all. That's 6 points.
Is there a lesson here, though, that Hales Owen have demonstrated in the fact that what John Hill's done in the last month is he's recruited wisely in the loan market, and that he's plugged the gaps that Hales Owen had, and that's why Hales Owen have...
For every Marcus Dinangan, it's 2-3 dozen players who are young lads at pro clubs who just aren't quite cut out for the cut and thrust of going up, of playing non-league football against grown men who are going to smash into smithereens.
Very true.
But Hales Owen have demonstrated that, you know, it only takes a couple
of... It can work.
No, I'm not talking about loans, I'm talking about results. It's totally transformed the season and, they have to be
very careful.
It's only 5 points.
Stalybridge at home are a match for pretty much anybody in this division. I mean, what, they drew 0-0 with Altrincham, didn't they? Of course, they are. They seem to have got that early season blues behind them, but it's away from home. They're absolutely bobbins. I don't know why. I don't know what they're doing differently away from home, whether it's a psychological thing or whether it's a tactical thing, but they need to sort out. At the moment, it's the home form keeping them away from trouble, and that's the real Stalybridge, I think. The Stalybridge Celtic that's away from home, it's some sort of weird imposter version of them, and they'll get that sorted. You know, they've not got round the corner yet, but they're kind of on the apex. And the draw that they got against Grantham, it was a step in the right direction. Yeah. And the draw that they got in the at the weekend against Prescott Cables in the Trophy, and they demolished Prescott last night in the Trophy in the replay. That's the real Stalybridge.
Anyway, but we're not going to commit to the relegation side of things.
I'm going to commit to it.
No, you're not. Now, that is the end of the show.
What?
Yeah, we're done.
What about the Division 1 North?
Yeah, we don't do that anymore.
We don't do it. Thank you to James Hayes from the league. Berkey, thank you for joining us on 26-0 Radio Manchester. Good luck on Friday night.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you. I'm so looking forward to it. You won't believe it. I really am.
Thank you to Swampy from the non-league show, available on Audio Boom.
Thanks, Ben. Cheers, my friend.
And thank you to Richard Impey from Ultra Good Football Club. Thank you for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
Can I, just before we go, just the best chant I've heard at a football match in a long time was Buxton against Warrington. A Buxton player was down injured and the Buxton physio comes running on the pitch. the six or seven so Warrington fans at behind the goal suddenly started going,
this is good.
Nino, oh, Nino. So well done to you, Warrington. That's superb. Anyway, a big good luck to everyone in FA Cup action this weekend. Yeah. We genuinely hope you all win.
Tigers! Anyway.
But that's the end of this month's show. A big thank you to the Heating Hops for hosting us. But from everyone here at the Heating Hops, take care.
Good night, everyone. Thanks very much. Much appreciated.
Last word to Swampy, as always.
EvoStick NPL show was brought to you in association with EvoStick, proud official sponsors of the Northern Premier League.